I would like us to open our Bibles this morning to the book of John, chapter number 10. As I've announced earlier, we're going to be starting a new series titled Loud and Clear. And it's all about hearing God, getting to know exactly what it entails, how it happens, and what is involved. Loud and clear. So we're reading from the book of John, chapter number 10. And I will read from verse number 1 to verse number 6. I just want you to pay attention to our Bible readings. Usually we may not have so much opportunity to come over back there, but if we do, we'll do that. But I just always want to give you... let you know that we may not have the opportunity. So let's pay attention as we read. Okay, John chapter number 10. I'll read from verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Important. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger, of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Still same John chapter number 10, I will read from verse 24. I'll jump to verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded him, surrounded Jesus, and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I read that again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall not perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them away, snatch them out of my hands. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this beautiful morning, we thank you for gathering us together around your word, the word of life. It's not mine, it's not ours, it's not any man's, it's yours. This morning I ask, O Lord, that you will anoint our ears and our hearts this morning. Let this word penetrate into the deepest part, the deepest recess of our heart. Let it bring restoration. Let it bring empowerment. Let it inspire, let it direct, let it reprove, let it correct and instruct in righteousness. I ask, O Lord, that you anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer, Lord. Let the word this morning flow out of me like streams of living water, in accuracy and in power and simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord. Let it drop into the heart of your people as the rain, and let it distill as the dew, even the dew of the morning. At the end of this meeting, let us have a testimony that we have been transformed by your word. As I share this morning, let the heart and the ears, the spiritual ears of your people begin to pop open. Every deafness I cast to the root in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say, big amen. loud and clear. Loud and clear. This morning, I'm going to be teaching specifically on the message that I've titled, No Mute Shepherd. No mute shepherd. To be mute is to be unable or unwilling to talk. So no mute shepherd. And the shepherd we're going to be talking about, I want you to just cast your mind back into around 2,000 years ago, and we're going to be dealing with the shepherd in the context of what it was in the land of Palestine during the Bible days, during Jesus' days. Because when Jesus was given some of this teaching, in fact, when Jesus was given this teaching, he was given it with reference to what was happening in their immediate environment, the immediate community at that time. So they could relate to it. You know, the same way we are able to relate to computers and stuff now, they were able to relate to what a shepherd was then. And that made a lot of sense to them. So we're not going to be looking at shepherds in terms of the 21st century technology-driven shepherds, you know, where you can actually control by remote, using a remote control to control the sheep. No, we're actually going to be talking about the shepherd as it were 2,000 years ago. So no mute shepherd. Now, just a simple story. You know, several years ago, while we were preparing for our wedding, I was going to make a trip from where I was to where my wife was living at that time, you know. That was around 100 km, 120 km, you know, apart. So I was going to make a trip to her, and from where she was, we were going to make another trip, which was about 200 kilometers. From where she was. So it was going to be first, I will cover 120 kilometers, and then from where she was, I'll pick her up, and then we're going to go to another place, 200 k's from where she was. We're just making preparation for our wedding, and she wanted to buy this, you know, this special stuff that was not available in our community, you know, for whatever reason, you know, don't ask me. So I set up this very early in the morning. There was another person that was living in my house at that time. I was a young doctor. The other guy was a medical student. And then we set out very early in the morning so that we'll be able to get to where she was, and then we'll be able to pick her up and then take the other journey, the second leg of the journey. So we set out very early in the morning. It was a very foggy morning, but we decided that we were still going to go anyway. So we set out very early, and we got to a particular, as we were driving along, we got to a particular junction where they've just constructed, there was this new road that had just been finished, and we had been told by a couple of our friends that the road was already finished, even though it was not yet commissioned. So because it was going to be a shorter road to where we were going, we concluded that we were going to take that road anyway, even though it was not yet commissioned. It was just newly completed. So we decided we were going to take that new road. So we moved a few things off the road. It was blocked. We moved a few things off the road, and then we set out in this new road, you know. And we were going. That was not a very smart thing to do, but that was what I did, okay? I'm just confessing, okay? And then we started going. And of course, because I wanted to cover the distance in a short period of time, I was going at a high speed. Of course, the speed that was required for that road, it was a dual carriage road, newly completed. You can imagine how you can actually almost, you know, slip off just driving. It was smooth, you know? And then I was going at a very high speed. All of a sudden, it was still very dark. It was very foggy. And all of a sudden, I heard in my spirit, slow down. I heard in my spirit, it was clear, slow down. I spoke to the gentleman beside me, the young man beside me. I said, I think we're slowing down now. And of course, he couldn't ask questions, you know. I was actually his pastor, so you understand. So I said, we're slowing down now. And he said, okay. So I reduced my speed, you know, to almost what you will find in just moving within the community. And we had not moved for, you know, I can't remember exactly, but just a short period, just a short distance, and we met this huge, you know, this huge kind of a brick walk of some sort that were actually put there by the construction workers. Of course, they did not expect anybody to be traveling on the road, so they had just put it right there. And it struck me, and the boy that was traveling with me said, Because he knew, we were really very so close to it before we realized it, because it was a foggy morning. And we both knew right away, we said, thank you, Lord. We both knew right away that if we had been traveling the same way we were traveling just a short while ago, there was no way we would have been able to escape that. We would have crashed there. It was so close. In fact, before we got to know, because it was a very foggy movie, it was really very close before we realized, oh, there was something there. And it wasn't just a plastic bag or whatever that you can just kick out. It was a major, massive structure put in there, you know. And I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Not too long ago, I was driving around Nagora Road. I got to this junction, this intersection. A particular car was moving in front of me, and there was this big, you know, road train, you know, a trailer that was coming from this other side. Now, I was going to work. Usually, generally speaking, I don't like trains. I don't like these long vehicles, you know, standing in front, moving in front of me, you know, because of obvious reason. I was going to work. You don't want a tortoise in front of you, you know, when you're going to work, you know, because they would just be crawling like that, you know. I wanted to go to work. And the car before me went ahead, and I was just going to zoom ahead because I still had time anyway. You know, the big vehicle was coming from the left. I still had time. I could follow up. And I had him stop. The light was not even red at the time. It was amber. So I could move. I said, stop. And I stopped. Of course, I checked from behind that I was safe. I stopped. And then that one, so the car before me went, and then this big heavy vehicle followed the car that was before me. I was still contemplating, why should I start? I was late. I needed to get to work. But I obeyed. So after the whole thing, you know, the red whatever came up, and then eventually it allowed me to pass. So I was driving behind this big, you know, vehicle. We had not traveled for too long before the big vehicle, it hung the car before it. Now, in a very heavy way. The saving grace for the man before me was that he was carrying, what do you attach to your car? A trailer. He was holding a trailer behind the car. So when the heavy vehicle hit the trailer actually was kind of pressed into the car in front. Anyway, I drove past them. I discovered that the guy in the car was saved. Of course, you know, some whiplash and all those things. But if not for the fact that the man was carrying a trailer, I doubt if the guy inside the car would have survived, or if he did survive, it would have resulted into a serious injury. Now, that would have been my place. Of course, I didn't have a trailer, you know. I said, Lord, thank you. Now, I'm sure some of you will be thinking, oh, the Holy Spirit always talks to you in traffic, right? No. No. I just use those as very simple examples of the way the Spirit of the Lord communicates to us. And the simple truth is this: life and death is in the hand and is in the balance, and it is whether you hear him and you hear him correctly or otherwise that will determine which way you're going to say. That's the truth of the matter. Now, there are people that don't hear God. They never heard God, you know, and they make all sort of crash landing and make a mess of their life and destiny. Is that bad? Now, there are people who hear God, but they don't recognize that it's God speaking to them. You remember 1 Samuel chapter number 3? God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel had to go to Eli and said, you called me. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back. And the young boy went back again in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and God called him again, and he went into Eli. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. But Eli recognized the voice of God, and then he told the boy, whenever he called, say, go ahead, your servant is listening, something like that. So there are people that never heard God. They don't hear God. There are people that hear God, but they don't recognize God's voice. Now, there are other people that they hear God speak to them, but they misinterpret what God has spoken to them. They kind of hear him, but they misinterpret the message. The message is misinterpreted. The message conveyed is misinterpreted, and they still end up going into errors. You remember there was a time in John chapter number 11, Jesus came to where Lazarus was. He had been away, and they already told him that Lazarus was sick. Anyway, eventually he came, and then and he came to them, and they said, and Martha came to Jesus, and Martha said, "Oh, if you had only been here earlier, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "Oh, okay, that's right. Martha says, even now the Lord hears you." And Jesus said to Martha, and he said, "Your brother will rise again." In verse number 25, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, "Yes, I know. At resurrection, at the end of the at the end of life, he will rise again." And Jesus said, "No, I am the resurrection and the life." So there was a voice of God, as it were, to Martha. There was a message in there, but Martha got a different kind of a message because she thought that Jesus was speaking about the resurrection at the end of the age, not knowing that Jesus was actually talking about right here, right now. Now, so there are people that don't hear God. There are people that hear God, they don't recognize him. There are people that hear God and they misinterpret the message. Now, it's just like the story of some ladies that I read about a while ago. Now, three ladies met together somehow, and they were just chatting about another lady who had a discussion with her husband earlier that day. So you've got these three ladies talking about the discussion that another lady had had earlier in the day with the husband. And the first lady said, "You know, I think they must have been talking about the zoo because I heard her saying a trained deer. Deer is spelled D-E-E-R. So they must have been talking about the zoo of some kind." And the second lady, let's call her lady number two now, I said, "What a terrible hearing you've got. I didn't hear them talking about a trained deer. I think that he was talking to the husband that you need to find out about the trained deer." You know, that she was talking to the husband, "Find out about the trained deer," you know. And the third one laughed, said, "You guys are just, what's happening to your hearing? You need to see the doctor, you know, because the two of you have just got it wrong." What this lady was saying to the husband was that they were going into seeing a musician with a trained ear. Did you get that? The first one said a trained deer. The second one says find a trained deer. The third one says she was talking about a trained ear of a musician. Anyway, emotions started flying and there were some arguments and stuff like that. You can imagine they were discussing it by somebody that was not even there. God was going to save them because the lady that they were talking about actually came around and they said, "Oh, good, she's even here. Let's ask her." So they went to her and they said, "What were you talking about with your husband this morning?" And she said, "Why?" And they said, "Okay, this said this one, that one said this one said this one. What were you talking about?" And she laughed about all the things that they've been saying. And she said, No. "It was not about a train here. It was not about rain. It was not about train there. It was not about a train. It was not about a train deer in the zoo." I said, "Because I was not around in town yesterday, I was asking if it rained here last night that I was not around, you know." So that tells you that the three of them got it wrong. They got the voice, they missed the message. And that's the way some people kind of relate with the voice of God. They get the voice, they get the word, but they miss the message. Now, this morning, let me just make it clear, as clearly as possible, right from the outset, without missing word. Hearing from God is possible. Hearing from God is paramount. Hearing from God involves a process. All right. Hearing from God is possible. Hearing from God is paramount. And hearing from God involves a process, a learning process. Now, it's obviously not a pie in the sky. In other words, it's not something unattainable. You know, some people have had people say, and the Spirit of God told me, and God told me, really?
he talks to you. Well, he's not even talked to me, you know. And then sometimes we even feel some people that say God spoke to me are very arrogant, you know. I can't even be saying God speak to you. You? Just you? Out of 7 billion people? He's got that much time in his hands? And when there is earthquake and destruction in some... Does it... Come on, wake up. You know, but the truth of the matter is God speaks to people. Now, let's go back to the subject where we started from. Now, in John chapter number 10, in verse 3, Jesus asked this to say, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and the sheep hear his voice. Now, shepherds in those days, they rely so much on their ability to speak, to control their sheep. Now, the picture that you have in verse 3, for instance, is the picture of a doorkeeper. Now, usually in those days, what they will do is that they will have people that have, you know, flock of sheep. They will have a particular place, you know, call it a sheepfold or a pen, where they will keep their sheep. And sometimes, because some of them are not able to afford it on their own, they actually get a sheepfold together, and then they employ somebody to be the doorkeeper, so that when the shepherd will come, the doorkeeper will open the door for the shepherd to go into the sheepfold. Now, when the shepherd goes into the sheepfold, because there are so many sheep in that sheepfold that do not even belong to him. So the question will be, how will he recognize his own sheep, his own flock, out of the whole, you know, mix-up of sheep? Somebody will say, okay, maybe they will use a remote sensor. No, there was nothing like that. They will use a tag. No, what they use is the voice. Now, when the shepherd speaks, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And you will see the sheep that belongs to his flock separating themselves from the entire sheep or the entire sheep in that sheepfold coming to him. Now, you remember that many of them, they will have to actually go to an open field and graze together. And sometimes you have several shepherds meeting together in a place and grazing together. Just let loose their sheep. And after they're finished, because they don't usually finish together, because they didn't probably get there together, the shepherd will make a sound or call his own sheep, and his own sheep will separate out of the whole lot of them. Fantastic phenomenon, isn't it? When they will go into the well, because they don't have so much water in Palestine in those days, you actually need to dig very well. And that's why most relationship encounters of husband and wife takes place around the well. Because you need to come to, you know, you remember when they were looking for a wife for Isaac, the man went into the well because that's where the ladies will come. You know, because the well is not, they don't have too many of them, and ladies will usually come there. And so when you want to choose a good girl, you go to the well, okay? Don't go to the well these days because there's no one there, okay? and then when they get into the well and they draw water, they will draw water for the entire sheep that is present there. When the shepherd wants to leave, he will just make a sound, and his own sheep will separate out of the entire fold. It's something God has done. I don't know how. Why? Because the sheep, they hear his voice. The voice of their own shepherd. Not of any other shepherd. Of their own shepherd. And they separate from him, from the rest of them. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about in this place. That my sheep, they hear my voice. He said, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep, because he doesn't have all of them, his own sheep by his name and leads them out. I understand that they even have names for their sheep. They know them by name. They call them out and give them, just like we give our pets names these days. You know, some of you have dogs and they've got names. You know, when I was growing up, we had a dog. We named it Tiger, you know. Some of the names of dogs I find around here, you know, it's so cool, so, you know, so cozy. And we usually look for a terrifying name, you know, destroyer. That's what we call our dogs, you know. Because when you want to call your dog, you want people to fear your house, you know. And not lovely, you know. You don't call your dog lovely. Nobody will run away. You want people to actually run. Anyway, don't bother them. Yeah, let's talk about something more important. So they have names for their sheep, okay? And they will call them out. That's exactly what Jesus is describing in this place. That he knows them by name, he calls them out. Now, in verse number 26, it says this. In verse number 25, actually say, the Jews came to him and said, "Just tell us if you're the Christ." And he said, verse 25, Jesus answered, I already told you, you do not believe me. You are asking me a question. I have told you, you do not believe me. Verse 26 says, "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, you didn't believe me because you are my sheep. Because you are not my sheep. Because a sheep will believe the voice of the shepherd. When it's time to go, the sheep does not think that, well, I've not had enough. It just believes he has had enough because the shepherd says, it's time to go. It's enough. Let's go. Hearing from God is important to us, and we need to believe that it is possible. Why? Because we are his sheep. The sheep needs to believe that the shepherd is interested in communicating to him. Now, the Bible says they hear his voice. Why do they hear his voice? Because the shepherd speaks. If the shepherd had kept mute, the sheep would not have heard anything. The shepherd hears his voice because he speaks to them. He talks to them. And the Bible says, you did not believe me because you are not part of my sheep. When I speak to my sheep, they believe me. So some people present in this place, they are still struggling with that idea. Can God speak to people? I'm just telling you, yes, God. It's not just God can. God does speak to people. And you need to believe that. That's the place to start. You know, this morning what I want to do is I want to create a desire in your heart to want to hear God. And I want you, secondly, I want to create a hunger in your spirit about your deafness. Those are the things I want to achieve by the grace of God. I want to create a desire in your heart to hear God, and I want you to become hungry that you have not been hearing him. Because you ought to hear him. You ought to hear him speak to you. Why? You are a sheep. You need to believe that first, that you are a sheep and God speaks. The shepherd speaks. That's the way the shepherd controls his sheep. He speaks to them. They heard his voice because he speaks. And that's why I titled it, "No Mute Shepherd." Shepherds don't keep mute. The direction to the sheep is in the hand of the shepherd as long as he speaks. Until he speaks, the sheep obeys the last command. Go and graze there. If the shepherd does not speak, he will be there till the kingdom comes. And that's why the sheep relies on the voice of the shepherd. And we have a good shepherd. The Bible calls him a good shepherd. He keeps speaking to us. And I want you to believe that before we go, because if you miss the fundamental platform that I'm trying to set up and you don't believe it, then there's no point going forward. You need to believe that he cannot just speak, he does speak to people. Right from the book of Genesis, we see him speaking. At creation, he spoke. The Bible says he said, "Light there be light." When he made the first man, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord commanded the man, saying, why? Because he is a speaking God, he's a speaking shepherd. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, he came across a man called Noah. And he spoke to Noah. He spoke to Noah about building the ark. In Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1, and the Lord had said to Abraham, he spoke to Abraham. And he kept on speaking to people down the generations. So if he spoke to Noah, if he spoke to Abraham, if he spoke to Adam, if he spoke to all of these people, why would he not speak to you? Why? Because you are a sheep. You know, the hallmark of being a sheep is the ability to hear. That's your ability to hear him speak to you. That's the hallmark of being a sheep. I know that, okay, yes, God speaks to people. We've established that God spoke to the people of old. Maybe God has stopped speaking to people, as some people will say. He no longer speaks to people. You know, I want to establish this morning that I perceive that God speaks to people more now than he has ever been since the creation of the world. He speaks to people now more than he has ever been. And I will tell you why. Because in the days of old, they had to rely on some people to tell them the heart of God. In this day and hour, he has made it so possible for individuals to have direct access to his mind for them. Everyone, every one of us here. In the days of old, all of you will have to rely on me as the priest to communicate with God and get information from God and get it to you. If something happens to the priest, the entire people, they are doomed. But in this day and hour, he has made it such that he can actually communicate to individuals in your bedroom, in your living room. I've just given you an example. In the car, in the showers, he can communicate. When you are doing so, your private business, you know, whatever it is, he wants to communicate to you. And he does communicate to you. The only thing is the method of communication has changed. Some of us are already fixated on the past communication method, but things have changed. There is, as it were, a spiritual technology. It has overtaken it. Some of you say you're still looking for girl. It's moved. The Bible calls it a better covenant, obtained by a better priesthood. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says this. Hebrews chapter 1. God. I usually say that there is probably no other book that starts with God. So if you want to learn about God, learn about Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoken to our fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made better than the angels, and having obtained by inheritance a more excellent name than theirs. For to which of the angels did God say at any time, you are my son, today have I begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. The Bible says, but when he bringeth forth the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire? But concerning the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, praise God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Why? For thou hast loved righteousness and you have hated iniquities. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And thou, O Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the heart, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt remain the same. They shall wax old as doth a garment, as a vesture. New translation says, as a cloak. Thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou, O Lord, are remaining the same, and their years will not say. For which of the angels has God said, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Verse 14, are they not ministering spirits? Praise God. Send forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. I can't just resist quoting the entire passage. You know why? It's so powerful. Let's go back to verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoken to our Father by the prophet, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son. The means of communication has changed. He has spoken to them by prophet. It's actually talking about prophetic voices in its various means. You know, audible voice, an angel appearing in dreams and in visions, you know, in what we call the Urim and the Thummim. Some Bible students will know that, you know, in various forms. But in this last day, he has spoken to us through his Son. Another translation says, in his Son. Now, that's not just talking about what Jesus said. Of course, that includes everything. But it also includes what Jesus has established. You know, the means of communication that Jesus has established, he has spoken to us through his Son. Now, what's the means of communication that Jesus has established? John chapter 16 is very clear about it. By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. I will read that in a short while. But you know what happens to many of us? We have read about the people of old, and we have read about how God will usually speak to them. And we're asking ourselves the question, why would God just not speak to us as he spoke to Moses? Let him test me whether I will believe him or not. Because the Bible will say that he will speak to Moses face to face. People have heard of audible voices. The angel will appear, in the case of Samson, appeared, you know, to the parents and spoke to them. Why would God not do that? Why? Because things have changed. There is a better covenant. Now, he was using those means. Now, get this right. He was using those means because he was dealing with a fallen man whose spirit is dead. You know what happened in the book of Genesis? When we had the fruit, I know you weren't present, but when we had, because it was the human race, there was a death that man incurred. Okay? So man became spiritually dead. All right? Now, there was a platform and a plan of salvation and of redemption to bring man back alive spiritually. Now, but that would take time. Now, pending the time that would take place, God started using all these means. His original intention is to communicate to man spirit by spirit, because the Bible says God is a spirit. All right? But when man fell, he needed to uphold man and keep man on track until he's connected, as it were, with his redemption package, which is going to come thousands of years down the line. Now, but many of us have so much become fixated on the temporary measure, what I call scaffold, and when the elevator starts to work, we still want to be using the scaffold material outside. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Those things were there to hold us until the fullness of time, when there was going to be a redemption. People will get born again. He that is born again is a new creature, a new species of being that has never existed. The spirit man comes alive. Now, when the spirit man is now alive, why should we now be using the means that was holding us up on track until the spirit man became alive? Are you getting it now? Years ago, I came across a particular man, and they just brought him into the hospital where I was working. And this man had not been able to go to do wee-wee, you know, for more than 24, 48 hours, you know. Some of those things it's better imagine. When you have seen somebody who has not done wee-wee for that long period, it's like a pregnant man. A pregnant man. And it was like maybe 20 weeks size of pregnancy. Ladies can relate to that, you know. But there was no baby there. You can imagine what was there, you know. It was filled with urine. Now, he came in distress, big distress, you know. And they brought him to the emergency department where I was working. And as soon as I saw him, he couldn't even say what the problem was. He was that much in distress, you know. Because like I said, you only need to go a few hours without... If you have ever tried to hold wee-wee for 6 hours or something, maybe you are in a place where you can't go into any convenience place. And you know how terrible it is? Now, this was a man that I've not been able to do it for 1 or 2 days. So he was really in distress, in pain, you know. And he was looking at me like, doctor. He couldn't even say it. But as soon as I saw it, of course, you know, you are trained to do that. So I got what we refer to as a catheter. You know, the nurses in our midst will know it. And I passed the catheter. So the catheter goes into the bladder and it drains the urine. Now, as he was on the bed, as soon as the catheter went in, you know, there was so much relief. The man slept. You know, while he was still there, the man just slept off, you know. And then I think a few hours, 30 minutes, 1 hour later, he woke up. He started speaking because I was speaking in a place where I didn't understand the language. And he was, you know, pronouncing some things. I believe they were blessings because I didn't understand what he was saying. He was so much relieved. All right? Now, but you know, that was a temporary measure. It was supposed to relieve the problem. You know? 3 months, 6 months down the line, it will be awkward for him to be carrying the catheter around. Because that was supposed to be a relief until we were able to actually do the surgery and actually get away what was blocking the, you know, the passageway. Now, but from experience, especially when I was working in that rural area, from experience, you know what? Many of them don't come back for the definitive treatment. They don't. Say, doctor, thank you. This one is good. I can walk around with this, you know. they just abandon you. They just forget about it. You know, that's the way we want. So when we have that temporary relief, we forget that it's just a temporary relief to hold things until the time that you will get the definitive treatment. All right? The method that God has used in times past was to hold things until the time that we will get the definitive exposure back to the spirit, when our spirit man will become alive again. And God waited for that. He longed for that. He waited. And then eventually it happened. Boom! The heaven rejoiced. Angels can now go on break because they've been sending them all over the place, all down the years. And man said, no. No, I'm so used to that one. Let's go back to that original. No! No! Jesus will not, God will not go back to that because it was a temporary thing. You were born a spirit, created in the spirit. There is a firm part of you which is called the body. There is a created part of you which is called the spirit. All right? It's the created part that God is interested in. Why? Because the body is going to, in the next couple of years, you know, 50 years, 100 years, by 100 years, many of we won't be here if Jesus tarries. So God has nothing to do with that. It's just to hold you here because you need a body to stay here. All right? Now, so it was a temporary measure. The definitive measure to engage us in discussion and in communication with God is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. You know, God, somebody will say, so you mean God doesn't speak to people with audible voices anymore? He doesn't speak to people in prophecies, or he doesn't speak to people in dreams, in visions? You mean there are no angels that can appear to people again? No, you're getting it wrong. You're getting it wrong. God is God. Two things you need to know. There is a God, and that's not you. Okay? Those two things are very important. That there is a God, and you are not the one. So God can do all these things. All right? But in his program, I'm telling you that the season has changed. You know what happens in a season? You know, the season in the realm of the... in biblical times is what we refer to technically and theologically as dispensation. You see, there are several dispensations that we've experienced, and there is a dispensation that we are in now. Just make it simple. Call it seasons. Now, for instance, let me just delve briefly into that. Let me just talk about the three important seasons or dispensations. There are many more of them. Theologians have talked about seven or even more. But let's talk about three of them. There is what we call the dispensation of the patriarchs. The dispensation of the patriarchs was when Jesus dealt with individuals, and by extension, their family, and communicated to them. Take, for instance, Noah. You know, take, for instance, Abraham. That was the dispensation of the patriarchs. Okay? But that was not going to last forever because it was a process. Don't forget, everything that happened from when man fell was a process until Jesus came. Okay? And after the dispensation of what we call the patriarchs, we have what we call the dispensation of the law. At this time, God did not just choose a person or a family. He chose a nation called the nation of Israel. And he did not guide them by promises. He guided them by the laws, the ordinances, the statutes. All right? And as long as they remain under that law, they have communications with God. Three things are important in that dispensation is the law, the temple, and the priesthood. Okay? In that dispensation. And then down the line, we have what we call the dispensation of grace, or the dispensation of the gospel. God said, no, I'm not going to deal with a person. I'm not going to deal with a family. I'm not going to deal with a nation. I'm dealing with the entire world. But I will give every single individual the responsibility to respond to the gospel. All right? So that's the dispensation we are in now. It covers the entire world. No one left behind. But everyone has the responsibility to respond to the gospel of grace. Now, so those are seasons. Now, what you will notice about seasons are this. Is this very important? In a particular season, say for instance, in a particular season, I don't know so much about the agriculture in this place, but in a particular season, you have corn all over the place. And at that time, when you have corn all over the place, do you still get onion? Yes, you get onion. But the kind of onion you get, they are like this, as small as this. All right? Why? Because it's not their season. And you have to pay a lot to get it. Because that's not the season. Okay? But corn is everywhere. During the season of corn, where I've come from, everybody just keeps doing like this on the street, you know, because it's corn all over. The entire community is filled with corn. You eat corn like this, you roast it in the afternoon, you kind of boil in the evening, you do every kind of thing because it's so cheap, it's everywhere. That's the season for it. Now, the season that we are in now is the season of engaging with you by the Spirit. That's the season. Why? The dispensation has changed. Now, do we still have people hearing God's voices? Yes. Do you still have prophecies? Yes. Dreams? Yes. But they are so scanty now. In fact, it takes God's sovereignty to determine who needs that, who needs what. Why? They are the exceptions. The rule has changed. Now, it is now incumbent on us to change with the season and to recognize that it is time to engage with the Spirit of the Lord inside of us to hear Him speak to us. Because the season has changed, people of God. As a matter of fact, the season that we are in, even if you hear an angel speak to you, that's what the Bible says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You need to engage with your spirit by the Holy Spirit to confirm that they are true. And that's why people still go around messing up their lives, relying on dreams and visions. Why? Because even when those things come to you by dreams and visions, even an audible voice, you need to check it out by the way of the Spirit. Does it conform to the tenets of the Spirit before you move ahead? Why? The season has changed. The season has changed. There is no mute shepherd that we follow. The shepherd that we follow is a speaking God. The method has changed, but He still speaks. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you about the tiniest details of your life. But the problem is, He has no access to your spirit. Your spirit is clogged up. Now, look at this in John chapter 16 as I round up. John chapter 16. Jesus was telling them about a change of season. He said, in John chapter 16 from verse 6, "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Verse 7, John chapter 16. He said, "Because I have told you this, you are now, you've become sorrowful. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage." What I'm doing is to help you. "It is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." Look at verse 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will" what? "Guide you into all truth." How will he do that? "For he will" what? "Speak." He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That's the dispensation. By communicating to us by the Spirit. Communicating to us by the Spirit. And that's why over the next few weeks, I trust God that some of us will get challenged to learn how to relate with the Holy Spirit inside of us and to get messages from Him and to get instructions and directions. There is a better way to live, people of God. There is a better way to live. The better way to live is to live at the dictate of the Spirit. He that follows the flesh, the Bible says, he will of the flesh reap corruption. And that's what we are experiencing in our society these days. People reaping corruption. Okay? Why? Because they are led by the Spirit. The physical senses were given to man, and God communicated to man through those physical senses until such a time that the fullness of time will come and we'll have access to the Spirit. Now we have access to the Spirit of the Lord. We can live a better life. Let us pray.